Well, before we begin, I want to say thanks again for braving the rain today. And if this is your first time here at Gwinnett Church, my name's Jeff. I'm on staff here at the church. And you've picked a really significant day to be with us. And so I'm thrilled that you're here. Before we go any further, though, I just want to remind you that next week we do something every year for our volunteers. We give our volunteers a Sunday off, and we give them donuts throughout the year and two Sundays off. So it's amazing. And so we will not gather together next Sunday, but then we'll be back together to begin the summer together on June the 4th. And we're starting a brand new series called Heroes. It's going to be a great summer. And then afterwards, we're having a summertime cookout on the parking lot right out there. And so we're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers that we'll provide. And we'd love for you to tailgate. Pretend that it's college football. If you miss college football, you get an early start. And you can bring, if you'll just bring the sides like potato chips and baked beans and kale salad for the health nuts out there. That'd be awesome. And then we'll just kind of hang out in the parking lot and have fun together. That's one of the things we love to do. Now, speaking of our church, today, as I mentioned, a significant day, and we're closing out the series called Pack Your Bags, and it's fitting because we're packing up our bags and leaving this current ministry season. And we think of the ministry season as the beginning of August to the end of May. And every now and then, we just want to pause and look back. And so much has happened in this season from August to May with all of our volunteers and what's happened here. And so we want to pause and just look back. And here's why we do this. Several years ago, I was introduced to this concept, this principle from a mentor of mine. He said, Jeff, every organization, churches included, every couple, every individual, we go through rhythms in life. And this is the rhythm that he pointed me to. And we lean into as a staff at Gwinnett Church. There are four things that typically need to happen for an organization to thrive. You need to think abundantly, you need to plan intentionally, you need to execute consistently, and you need to celebrate frequently. And I love this. This is great for individuals. It's great for businesses. It's great for churches. In fact, if you're a business leader today, manager, this would be a great thing for you to talk to your team about this week. Hey, we need to think abundantly. And for us as a church, we need to think and pray abundantly. We need to plan intentionally, execute consistently, and celebrate frequently. But there's one of these four that is typically overlooked and underappreciated. And which do you think it is? Celebrate frequently. That's right. I need to give you a Chick-fil-A gift card. That's awesome. So this one is often underlooked and overlooked and underappreciated. And typically what happens in the business world is we have end of year Christmas parties, right? And we're like, hey, okay, thank you. Let's get back to work in January. Okay. But in that point, in that moment, we miss out on the power of celebrating. Because celebrating reinforces purpose. Celebrating reinforces the why. And let me tell you why this is important for us today as a church. Several years ago, there was one of the most famous TED Talks that was given. TED Talks are an online leadership organizational talk by an author named Simon Sinek, and his talk was called Start With Why. That any organization, really any person, by the way, needs to start with why. And I think he's right. I think this is true. But this is actually not the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do isn't to start with why. The hardest thing to do is to stay with why. To stay with why. And if an organization drifts apart from why we're here, what will happen over time is they'll lose their way. And so every now and then, we need to call a timeout here at Gwinnett Church and remind us of what our why is. And here's why this is important. And here's why we're doing this for a few minutes today. When you lose your why, you lose your way. When you lose your why, you lose your way. The business world is littered with companies that eventually lost their why and they drifted and went out of business because they missed and they drifted off of what their why was. Church world is notorious for this as well. I'm a preacher's kid. I've seen this. I grew up in this, okay? In fact, oftentimes when a church loses its why, they start arguing over things that really don't matter. I know churches that split because they disagreed over the color of the carpet. I'm not making this up. And when that happens, when you lose sight of what your why is, you will lose your way. And as a church, there's too much at stake. God has blessed us with too much potential for us to not remember what our why is. And if we don't remember our why and we lose our way, there is so much at stake. So every now and then, I need to get up here, call a timeout, and just say, okay, I want to make everyone sure and know that this is why we are here. And if this is your first time here, I'm so thrilled that you're here today because I want to invite you into this. Because there's so much potential here, and we want to invite you in to experiencing what our why is. So to do that, I want to do two things real quick. The first is really simple. I just want to say thank you with an exclamation point. Okay, I want to say thank you. And the reason I want to do this is so many incredible things has happened from the beginning of August to right now. From the beginning of August to right now, as a church, we baptized 119 people in this month's span. I think that's absolutely phenomenal. 119 people. But not only that, I could tell you story after story after story of people that are taking first steps into their relationship with Jesus here. The other thing I love about what's happening here is what's happening in our student and children environments. You see, I've told you this before, but it kind of bears repeating. What we're trying to do on Sunday mornings is keep you preoccupied so we can go change the world down the hall. In Wombaland, in Up Street, and down in the basement in Transit, and later tonight at Inside Out for our high school students. And here's the thing. If you've got kids in Up Street right now, you, and this is true for all of our environments, but let me just talk about Up Street for a second. Your kids are surrounded by some of those amazing volunteers, but I wanted just to tell you this. Those people down there, they're crazy. And here's why they're crazy, okay? They actually think that they are changing the world by spending 1 hour a week with elementary age students. Now, you might think that's crazy, but it's crazy good. It's crazy good. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. This past January, the Upstreet team and the students and the volunteers decided to do something. And the reason they decided to do what I'm about to tell you is we decided to build a new student building. And the reason we're building a new student building is based on the number of kids that we have in Upstreet and Wombaland, we will not have enough space in our current building. We've got this wave of kids coming our way. And so we decided we got to get ahead of this. It would be poor leadership on my part if 3 years from now or 4 years from now or 5 years from now, we had no room for these Upstreet kids. And if you were to come up to me 4 or 5 years from now and say, Jeff, did you know this? And I would say, yeah. And you didn't do anything about it? And I said, yeah. You would say, and rightly so, that's bad stewardship. That's bad leadership. So what we decided to do this past fall is we decided to do another fundraiser. We just finished the last fundraiser 9 months ago, and we started another one and said, hey, we got to build this student building. And we were trying to do our best. In the meantime, we brought in some really ugly trailers, okay, because we were out of space for our middle school students, especially in the morning, and high school students for their small group space. And so we decided to build a building, and you said, let's do it. Let's go. And so that's why because of your pledging and because many of you are continuing to give towards your pledge between now and the year end, we're making significant progress on that building. But what we also wanted to do is to make sure that the next generation participated in the giving as well. So Transit, our middle school environment, they've had some great fundraisers. Inside Out, our high school students, they've been raising money. But I love that, but I also love that our Upstreet, our elementary age students, wanted to do it as well. So here's what they did back in January. They created this thing called Upstreet Bricks, building together for Gwinnett with Legos. And every time an Upstreet student brought a friend to Upstreet for the first time, or they brought some money to the giving tree, which is where they give every Sunday in Upstreet, they got to put a Lego in the Fort Gwinnett outline of our county. And so as they did this, this was very popular on Instagram. You can hashtag Fort Gwinnett. You'll see this, or Facebook. As they began to do this, as they invited friends, as they began to give each week to the tree, what happened is this began to fill up. And we thought it would take at least a couple of years for this thing to fill up. And then something really significant happened last Sunday. As this began to kind of fill up and fill up and fill up, they filled it up last Sunday. That's awesome. Now, let me tell you what this represents. This represents 155 children being brought to Upstreet, and Upstreet Elementary students, in the span of 4.5 months, raised $2,542. Isn't that amazing? That's fantastic. But what this tells us is, hey, the next generation, this is so beautiful. This is so powerful. Imagine what's going to happen when these Upstreet students eventually walk into that building as a sixth grader. And many of them are going to be able to look around and say, I helped pay for this. That's fantastic. That's what we're trying to do. And that's what you're doing when you serve and when you give here. It's having a significant impact. But not only that, and I don't know why this is happening. This is just God's doing. But as you serve here and as you give here, God is multiplying it way beyond just Gwinnett County. Let me give you an example. From the very beginning of our church, and if you're new here, this is important to know. From the very beginning, we asked the question, what do we want to be known for as a church? What do we want to be known for? And in the early days, we had this statement that said, you know, many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. Many people are more familiar that the church boycotted Disney, and they're very familiar with what the church is against, but they're not as familiar with what the church is for. And for us, we want to be known for what we're for. And so we ask the question, well, what are we for? Well, we're for Gwinnett. I mean, we live here. We're for Gwinnett students. We're for Gwinnett kids. We're for Gwinnett schools. We're for Gwinnett businesses. We want this place to be great. We're for this county. And the most important news of all is that God is for them. The greatest Bible verse of them all actually starts with the word for. For God so loved the world. And so we want to be, that's what we want to be known for. We want to be known that we're for Gwinnett because God is for Gwinnett. And so you see the t-shirts and everything. But what's happened is that message is spread and spread and spread. And so every time you give here, every time you serve here, other churches are taking note of that. And they're telling their community that they're for them as well. I could give you tons of examples. Let me just give you one we saw this week, just this week. I don't know if you've ever heard of Borger, Texas, but there's a little church in Borger, Texas that's been watching you. They've been watching you on Instagram. They've been watching you on Facebook. They've been watching you pull wagons. They've been watching you do what you do, and they said, we want to do that as well. And they sent us this picture based on what they saw from you. This is their little wagoneer team, all right? And they said, they're for Gwinnett too, but they don't live here. They're for Borger, all right? Now, here's why this is important. For those of you who give here, God, for whatever reason, is multiplying your return on your investment. It's not just here, it's traveling. In fact, you don't know this, but for the last couple of weeks, we've had churches from Australia to Vancouver and places in between watching you. You parked their cars, you said good morning, you greeted them in the gallery. You've just been serving them, and they've been taking note. The reason I say this is thank you, thank you, thank you. Because as you serve, as you give, as you invite, it's having this multiplication effect way beyond here. And what I love about this little girl is we may never ever meet this little girl this side of heaven, but right now in Borger, Texas, she is being told that God is for her. That's a fantastic message. In fact, it's not just a fantastic message, it is the message. And somewhere along the line, we've missed this in the global church, and more people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. Well, as for us, that's not going to be our story. And so when you wear your For Gwinnett shirt, it's making a significant difference. In fact, I just saw a gentleman here that I was wearing my For Gwinnett shirt as well yesterday. I was actually walking down the road. He stopped me on the car and just stopped me, and I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. And he said, my wife goes to your church. And I said, well, that's awesome. Do you? And he said, no. I said, you should come this Sunday. And he said, okay. Now, I hear that all the time. He's here. He's actually in the, I think he's outside in the lobby. He had his little daughter with him. And so if he's out there in the lobby, can we just give a round of applause for him being out here today? And the point is that God's for you, God loves you, and that's why we're here. So I want to say thank you for that. But the reason we do all that, I want to make sure, that's what we do, but that's not necessarily the why. It's leading us to the why. So I want to remind us of what the why is. And there's so many things I can point to, but there's one fundamental verse that I want to illustrate today, and it comes from the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is a fantastic book. It's an interesting book because we're not quite sure who wrote it. And I love the honesty of the scriptures in the sense that the writer didn't list his name. And so many people think it's Paul, some think it's Luke, some think it's Apollos, some think it's Priscilla. We're not quite sure, but what we are sure is that this book, the book of Hebrews, has a foundational sentence for what we're about as a church. And before I share that one sentence, I just want to give you the kind of the thumbnail view, or the overarching view rather, of what the writer of Hebrews is going to ultimately lead us to. And he doesn't get three verses into the first chapter without telling us what the core message of the book of Hebrews is, what the core message of the New Testament is, quite honestly, what the core message of the Old Testament and the New Testament is. And I love this beautiful way that the writer writes this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, the Son, speaking of Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. It's what Jesus said, by the way. When you see me, you've seen the Father. The Son is the radiance of God's glory the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, meaning what when Jesus did what he did on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is it's all been about Jesus, it's all for Jesus, it's all through Jesus. The story is about Jesus. And as the writer goes on, this is the message that he leads us to. And it's this message that I want to illustrate with this. But here's the verse. And this is what we do. This is the why, okay? The why is this. The writer said this, we have this hope being Jesus. Jesus as an anchor. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I love this verse for so many reasons, one of which is that it illustrates that there's so many things that we can anchor our lives to. I mean, we can anchor our lives to finances, all right? We can get our identity and our identity and anchor into finances. And money is incredibly important. Don't mishear me. But when money is your identity, it's a rocky, rocky road, as evidenced by no longer than just Wednesday when the Dow dropped over 300 points. If your identity is tied into your finances, it's going to be a rocky road. It's a tough place to anchor your life. Or if it's popularity, or it's even human relationships, or if it's work, if it's career, if it's an addiction, those are all things that are going to be fleeting things to anchor your life into. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is there's one anchor. There is one anchor to anchor your life to. And what I know about you and what you know about me is that there are some high seas coming our ways. There's some really good days coming our ways. And there are some really difficult things and days coming our ways. And whatever your anchor is anchored into, whatever your life is anchored into, it will be a fleeting thing unless you're anchored in the hope and the grace and a relationship with Jesus. And when your life is anchored in the relationship with Jesus, it does not mean that you'll never have bad days. That's not true. What it does mean is that in the good days and the bad days, your hope is firm and secure. And so what we're trying to do as a church is we're trying to place an anchor in the hearts of children in Wombaland right now. What's happening in Wombaland right now is this. We are teaching children that God made you, God loves you, and Jesus wants to be your friend forever. That's what's happening right now over the hall in Wombaland. In Upstreet, we're trying to let them know to make the wise choice that Jesus is an incredible friend and savior to them. And as we anchor the love of Jesus into their hearts and souls, we want to send them out into this world to change it and to lead it. That's why we're so excited about what God has done with our high school students. It's why we're so excited about this student building that we're building. It's not just a building, it's a launching pad. And as we anchor these men, young men and women with the hope and the love of Jesus, they're able to go out and change the world for the Savior. And that's a different message that maybe many of us grew up with hearing from the church. See, for so long now, the church has had this relationship with the world. We kind of have our holy huddle over here, and we kind of throw rocks at the world, and we talk about how bad the world is, and the whole world's going to pot, and I'm not just talking about the state of Colorado, right? I mean, it's just going terrible, right? And the world's terrible, and we write blog posts about how terrible and awful the world is, and we get scared of the world. And as we get scared of the world, we raise up a generation of students that are scared of the world as well, and so we have this little holy huddle. And the problem is that's not the New Testament church. The New Testament church was not afraid of the world. The New Testament church went out and led the world. The Apostle Paul said, I want a meeting with Caesar. I want a meeting with Caesar. I'm a Roman citizen, by the way. I want a meeting with Caesar because I'm going to tell him who Jesus is. Time out, Paul. Don't you realize that this Caesar is the emperor of the empire that crucified Jesus? And Paul's response was, hey, this is good news. It's good news. If they kill me, I get to be with Jesus, and that's amazing. If they don't, I get to preach about Jesus. That's amazing. You couldn't touch this guy. That's what the scriptures teach. When they look at Paul, they go, we don't know what to do with this guy. He's not afraid of us. There's something about him. You know what was the thing that was about him? His soul, his life was anchored in Jesus, and he went out and led the world. And that's what I love to see you doing. not to be afraid of the world, but you're leading the world. And not just here. I mean, I talk to people all the time and they say, hey, could you tell me, Jeff, your decision to leave the business world to go into full-time ministry? And I tell them, I was already in full-time ministry. I've been following Jesus since I was 10 years old. And so every job I've had since then, I've been in full-time ministry. And the same is true for you. And honestly, I don't think the world needs more people like me. I think they need more business people. I think they need more coaches. I think they need more teachers. I think they need incredible parents. I think they need incredible community leaders and people who are disguised as Jesus people. Disguised as ministers, but they're just disguised as a business person. But in that, people go, wow, there's something different about her. There's something different about him. And as they live, as we live our lives, we're pointing people to an anchor, the hope of the world. And so when people see you as a teacher, see you as a coach, as our students serve in Upstreet, here's the amazing thing. We have so many high school students that are serving in Upstreet and Transit and Wombleland right now. It's incredible. And these children are looking up to these students. And it's amazing because these students, these teenagers are saying, hey, Jesus is your anchor. Jesus is your anchor. And so what we're trying to do as a church is simply this. Jesus is the anchor, but this rope here represents the church. And you see, the scriptures are also true that the church, you and the believers, were the hands and feet of Jesus, all right? So an anchor is kind of an invisible thing, all right? But when the waves come crashing, if something's anchored deep, you can see the result of this steady, secure, and firm anchor. And this just simply represents people. When you put on your Fort Gwinnett shirt and go walking down the road and are stopped by a stranger, when you go wear your Fort Gwinnett shirt at Mellow Mushroom, when you serve, when you give here, what you're doing is you're throwing a life preserver out into the community and saying, hey, we found an anchor, hang on. We found an anchor, hang on. We found an anchor. And here's the beautiful thing. When you and I partner together, this is the hope and the beauty and the majesty of the local church. So for those of you who served in guest services today in the pouring down rain and you brought people in and then the Wagoneers, I'm not even sure we did Wagoneers in the rain today, but when you do Wagoneers and you pull children in, you're partnering together. And then when you go into Wombleland, you're partnering together. When you open up your homes to lead a small group later this week, we're partnering together and we're throwing this life preserver out into the community and say, hang on, in the high seas of your life, we're with you because we're the hands and feet of Jesus, but ultimately we want to point you to the anchor of our Savior. This is why we do. This is what we do, and this is why we do it. Now, here's the beautiful thing, too, for our students, our college students. Typically, this isn't, for us at least, it's not like, see you later, glad you were here. No, what we're doing is this. We're saying, students, we're with you. So let me illustrate how this goes. So August is going to the University of Georgia this fall, right? Okay. So August, he was a Florida State fan, but he came to Jesus and now is a Georgia fan. So here's what's happening with August. So in August, now I love the University of Georgia. I went to the University of Georgia, okay? So, but it's not necessarily known as the most spiritually uplifting school. I'll just tell you that. Now, the good news is there's Athens Church, all right? But here's what we're doing, August. We're not saying farewell. We're not saying, you know, have a good life. We'll never talk to you again. We're saying, here you go, August. Go out to the University of Georgia and, hey, go lead. God's got a great plan for you. So when you go out and lead, hey, you're going to have some great days. You're going to have some challenging days. And when you have some challenging days, just text us. When you have some challenging days, just call your small group leader. He's been traveling with you for several years now. If you have some difficult days, just come back. Text us. Send us a message on Facebook. We're really good at responding on Facebook. We are with you. This isn't a farewell. This is go change the world, and we are with you. And parents, this is why you want to have your kids in Wombleland and Upstreet and Transit on a consistent basis, because we're going to partner them with another adult voice that's going to speak wisdom into their life. Wendy and I have experienced this. Cole and Jesse have been with small group leaders, like August has been with small group leaders. And the small group leader will tell them something that Wendy and I have been telling them since they were 2 years old. And for Jesse and Cole, it's like we have some incredible wisdom that Megan, our small group leader, told us tonight. I'm like, thanks for Megan. I've been telling you for 12 years that, okay? But it's just another adult voice, and this is why you want to do this. So, students, we're with you. Thanks, August. How about a hand for August Bondeson again? So this is what we do. We anchor people to Jesus, but we do that connected together. And when we do that, we allow people to know that their hope is firm and secure. So this is how it looks. This is why we do this. When we're anchored to Jesus and connected together, being the hands and feet of Jesus, our hope is secured. That's why we get together in small groups and say, hey, just remind, we're going to pray for you. We know you have a situation going on in your life right now, but here's what we want to remind you of. We're with you. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. So let's pray over you right now. And so when we're anchored to Jesus and connected together, our hope is firm and secure. This is why we do what we do. Now, here's the good news. This is actually some incredible news. Our growth, particularly in our family ministry, is exceeding at a very fast pace. That's the good news. The challenging news is the growth of our family ministry environments are actually outpacing the supply of volunteers that we currently have. And so I hope to some extent we always have that. Anytime a church doesn't need any more money and they don't need any more volunteers, the warning light on the dashboard of the health of that church should be blinking. So I'm so grateful that we're building this building. I'm so grateful that many of you are giving to that. And if this is your first time here and you hear me talk about giving, please understand this isn't for you. But if you're invested in here, you've been coming for a few weeks or months, we would love for the rest of you to join us. There's only about 30% of people who give here on a regular basis. So 70% of the people who attend here don't give anything. And so the funding of all this is on the backs of 30% of people. So we need people to step up and continue to give. And so many of you are doing that with the building. But the other thing that we need, not just for us, but for you, is we need more of you to step up to serve. And so here's what I'd like for you to do as we come in for a landing. In your seat or in the seat back in front of you, there is this little card. And this card lists our four primary family ministry environments: Wambaland, Upstreet, Transit, and Inside Out. I really want to encourage those of you who haven't been serving this ministry season to sign up to serve this coming ministry season in August. And by filling this card out, you're not signing up to serve next week. By the way, we're not even here next week, okay? You're not even signing up to serve in June. You're signing up to possibly meet with one of our staff members to let you sign up for the next ministry season. And what I'm asking you to do, if you're not currently serving and you didn't serve this current ministry season, and this is your church, I want you to serve from August, this coming August, to next May, and just try it. A triple dog dare you to try it. And here's what you're going to experience. I think you're going to experience purpose by serving in a church. And you'll never know what the church can do for you until you experience what the church can do through you, okay? Now, let me talk to the men in particular. There's a trend in church world going on right now. And the trend is that most of the volunteer environments are being staffed and led by women. Now, I love women. I married a woman, okay? So I want you to know that, all right? So this isn't anything anti-women. I love women, and we're so grateful. But men, there's a growing trend in our culture where we're just kind of bailing out on leading the next generation. And so the problem is so many young people, and particularly young boys, are growing up, and they do not have a positive male role model at home. And so what I want to ask you to do is to step up and to serve in these family ministry environments. We need more men, especially more men small group leaders who will journey and walk with these students. And I guarantee you, when you get to a day like today, you'll see that it was worth it. So what I'm asking you to do is fill out that card. Then our wonderful guest services teams will have their buckets, and you'll just place the card in the bucket, and then we'll contact you over the next few weeks and get you ready for August. And here's why this is important. If you'll do this, it will allow the growth that we're experiencing and the gap with our volunteer supply begin to shrink and level out. We need to do this to keep pace with the growth that Jesus is blessing us with. And why is all of this important? Well, here's why it's important. It's our why. And when you lose your why, you will lose your way. It's why we're building this building. We can't we just can't sit idly by and see all of this growth happening, particularly in Wambland and Upstreet, and not do something about it. And that's why one of the reasons we're building this building, because the why is so beautiful and majestic. The why is Jesus, and he's the anchor of our soul. And when we partner together and reach people in this community, it's a beautiful, powerful, incredible thing to experience. And I want us to continue to experience this collectively and individually. Now, to close, one of the reasons this is so personal for me isn't because I work here, isn't because, you know, this is my job or whatever. You have to understand, and some of you know this, in the fall of 2010, I was the lead pastor of Buckhead Church. And Buckhead is the first multi-site church of North Point Ministries. And my wife, Wendy, and I, we decided to leave Chick-fil-A, my career at Chick-fil-A, and to go help launch Buckhead Church. And we launched in a grocery store, kind of gutted out an old grocery store, and started the first video multi-site church, or helped start it, and eventually built this building. And then in the fall of 2010, Andy Stanley, our lead pastor of our network of churches, said, "Hey, Jeff, as you know, we're thinking about maybe launching a campus in Gwinnett. Would you and Wendy consider leaving Buckhead Church and helping start Gwinnett Church?" Well, that's a pretty big question. And so we began to pray about it. We began to seek out feedback, like we would tell anybody to do when you're thinking about a change like this. And so one of my big mentors who loves us, and he wasn't being critical by any stretch, he was just asking us a great question. Here was the question he asked. He said, "So let me get this straight," and this is his words, "you're leaving the coolest church building in America to completely start all over again. You don't have a place to meet. You don't have any money. You don't have really anything right now other than, you know, you kind of understand kind of the role at Buckhead Church. You and Wendy would be willing to start all over?" And that was like, wow, maybe we need to think through this. So I called Wendy. "Do we really want to start all over, honey? I mean, this is like," he was telling me, oh no. And I thought, Wendy and I talked about it, and here's the conclusion we came up with. See, Wendy and I, we went to high school here. We went to high school in Gwinnett County. My dad pastored a church not too far from here. We actually got married in that church. We've grown up in this county. And what we knew is that there were stories in Gwinnett County that had not yet been anchored to the anchor of Jesus. And we knew from high school students that the potential of reaching high school students in Gwinnett County is just immense. That of the 10 largest high schools in the state of Georgia, eight are in our county alone. That's a massive amount of potential. We knew as a result of that, there were lots of high school students who had not yet had their story connected to that anchor of Jesus. We knew that also that there were children and parents and families and business people growing up in this county, this amazing county. It was one of the fastest growing, continues to be one of the fastest growing counties in the southeastern United States, which means there's lots of stories that have yet to be connected to the anchor of Jesus. And we certainly didn't know all the stories. But what happens to us every Sunday, or when we hear stories of people being baptized around here, we see there's a story. There's a story that we weren't specifically aware of, but we were genuinely aware of, that God knew that this is why he wanted us to start this together and collectively. And the reason we're building this building is that there are other stories in that building that are going to connect to the anchor of Jesus. So that when you give, and when you serve, and when you wear your Four Gwinnett shirt, and when you invite people here, what you're doing is you're connecting their story through other volunteers and through other generous people to the anchor of Jesus. And so Wendy and I knew that there were stories out there. And so we said, you know what? Let's start all over. Because this county, one of the most fastest growing counties, one of the most diverse counties, and one that has so many high school students, the potential for the kingdom is awesome. They are out there. Let's go take these life preservers and throw them into the schools, into the ballparks, into the restaurants, into the roads, and into all that we do here, and to say, guess what? We love you because God loves you as well. And I can show you story after story after story. But to close today, I just want to share with you one, and that's the story of Dominic. This story is one of the 119 stories that we heard as a church this ministry season from August to May. And it's a beautiful story that represents the hands and feet of Jesus. It's a beautiful story of one of the thousands and thousands of high school students. And it represents one story and one name that Jesus knew about way before any of us did. And he said, I'm going to launch this church to reach that young man. That's why we do what we do. This is Dom's story.
Hi, my name is Dominic Strunk, and growing up, I didn't have the easiest of lives. I lived with family, friends, due to my mom constantly being in jail, and me never knowing my dad. When I finally did move in with my mom, we began to drift from rundown neighborhoods to trailer parks to projects, all the while I kept on switching schools. This caused me to not make any friends. This all changed when I was pulled into foster care for domestic violence alongside my then 3-year-old sister, Ariana. After our first year of being in foster care, I met this woman named Virginia who was in charge of our visitations. After a year of being tossed around into different houses and being separated from my sister, we finally moved in with Virginia and her husband, Randy, and 5 days after my 13th birthday, we were adopted by them. I grew up generally not caring whether or not God existed, but regardless, Randy and Virginia continued to take me to church with them no matter how much I complained. I soon became interested in Jesus' love for me, but I still didn't understand it when I moved to Gwinnett. When I moved to Gwinnett, I began to make friends that I never thought a person like me could have, and I felt God continuously pull at my heart. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior at the Walk 2015. I am now learning about God's grace and forgiveness. I would like to thank my loving parents of 4 years, Randy and Virginia, and all my friends in my small group who helped me in my faith when I struggle. I am here to show you that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Well, thanks for being with us today. And on your way out, we'd love for those of you that want to sign up for the next ministry season, you'll just fill this out, drop it in the bucket. Remember, we won't gather next week, but we'll see you on June 4th. God bless. Have a great week.